The following program is brought to you by Audio Journal, a radio reading service intended for a print-impaired audience. Material is selected with the interest of its audience in mind, with the goal to inform and entertain. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, its staff, or volunteer readers. Welcome all to Audio Journal's Poets' Corner, the program that offers its print-impaired audience and other listeners the opportunity to listen to poetry of people from all walks of life, of those from the distant past right up to the present day. This production is brought to you in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind. I'm George Bloomquist, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading the poems from the pens of poets such as Susan Zimmerman, Dave Baldwin, Anya Silver, and Judith Sornberger, to name but a few. They, among others, are found in the wonderful anthology The Path to Kindness, Poems of Connection and Joy, edited by James Cruz. In his introduction to this anthology, Cruz notes that, quote, "Poetry is an ideal tool in times of uncertainty and change in our lives because it grounds us in the now, opening our hearts and minds to the worlds outside and within. That brings us closer together until we see, as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. put it so well, that we are all caught in an inescapable network of mutuality tied to a single garment of history." So, without further ado, let's begin our program now with the poem Get Close by Susan Zimmerman, in which she ponders the notion that, upon closer examination, things we perceive and experience in life aren't really what they initially seem to be. Here, then, is Get Close by Susan Zimmerman. So close, you see something you thought you knew as if for the first time. Then closer, beyond seeing, lost, mystified. Like the time I photographed the gray shadow on the side of a tree, magnifying until I realized it was not a shadow, but growing moss. Until I realized the white dots were not dots, but tiny flowers blooming in the moss. Until I was so close, I disappeared. In the whole universe, there was nothing, no one but the tree and me. And we were only one thing. Susan Zimmerman is a retired lawyer who lives and writes in Toronto. Her poetry chapbook, Nothing Is Lost, was published by Caitlin Press, and her poems are published in periodicals such as Room, Fiddlehead, The Ontario Review, Fireweed, Matrix, and Calyx. She has taught a creative writing course called Writing Like Breathing at a healing center, and since her retirement in 2015, she has returned to participating regularly in poetry retreats and workshops. Have you ever looked back in your life and wistfully recall someone who had crossed your path for only a brief moment? Well, such is the case in our next poem, Summer Romance, by Dave Baldwin. It reads, "Of all my days to middle age, you gave me less than 10. So little time from moon to rising moon. A meteor flared and fell on an August night. Now 30 winters dead. The lingering light. For that, I give you thanks." Dave Baldwin retired from the Walt Disney Company Technology Division in 2017 after 40-plus years as a technical writer and editor. He has been a naval officer, college teacher, and master's track and field athlete. In 2009, he served as the National Secretary for the Haiku Society of America. Dave lives in Lake Stevens, Washington, a few miles north of Seattle. Up next, another stroll down memory lane in Late Summer by Anya Silver. August evening, church bells, light shattered on the quick creek as in a Seurat painting, grass thick with Queen Anne's lace, the summer sun so late in setting that bedtime comes late for the children scattered in a garden to catch the slugs eating their plants. Late summer. And the roses in second bloom know what's coming. But for now, bells, water, laughter, my mother and I walking together arm in arm, because happiness is a decision each of us has made without even discussing it. Anya Silver won a Guggenheim Fellowship and the Georgia Author of the Year Award. She was the author of 5 books of poetry, all published by the Louisiana State University Press, as well as Second Bloom, which was published in 2017 by Cascade Books. Until her death in 2018, she taught English at Mercer University in Macon, Georgia. The following verse poignantly reflects on the poet's interactions with her mother in her closing days of her life, and it's titled Assisted Living by Judith Sornberger. It reads, "This time, Mom, I'd stayed overnight at assisted living when you asked. Borrow a pair of your satin pajamas, paint your fingernails pearly white, finish off a box of Russell Stover chocolates with you. I wouldn't even complain when you pinched each piece to reveal its center, avoiding the dreaded marshmallow. Forgive me. I was trying to avoid sleeping on the sofa too narrow for my body, staying up later than I like while you filled ashtrays with cigarette butts and my eyes burned and watered from your smoke. This time I'd visit the past for as long as you wanted. Sit with you hip to hip, looking at pictures of me and my sisters, the ones with scalloped white edges like the lace on our Easter anklets. I'd watch as many classic black-and-white flicks as you wished and weep beside you at their endings." Judith Sornberger is the author of 4 poetry collections. Her prose memoir, The Accidental Pilgrim, Finding God and His Mother in Tuscany, is published by Shenty Arts. She is Professor Emerita of Mansfield University, where she taught English and women's studies. She lives on the side of a mountain in the northern Appalachians of Pennsylvania. Next, When You Meet Someone Deep in Grief, by Patricia McKernan Runkel. Slip off your needs and set them by the door. Enter barefoot this darkened chapel, hallowed by loss, hallowed by sorrow, its gray stone walls and floor. You, congregation of one, are here to listen, not to sing. Kneel in the back pew. Make no sound. Let the candle speak. About this poem, James Cruz writes, "Patricia McKernan Runkle's words call us to be as present as possible with another person, to recognize the sanctity of the space we share with someone who has recently endured a loss of any kind. She asks us to see the hollowing of grief as a hallowing as well, deserving of reverence." Patricia McKernan Runkel values the quiet work of listening to one another and building community. She has volunteered at a peer support center for grieving children and their families, worked as a writer and editor, and directed a choir. She has published poems, songs, and collaborative choral pieces, and an award-winning memoir on grief. Here Here's a touching account of a daughter's reunion with her father in Dream Visitation by Megan Buchanan. This morning, before dawn, my dad visited me in my dream. He was here, where I live now, in a house he never did see. I came down the wide staircase with a lost dog that had spent the night to find my dad sitting in a chair near the kitchen. As I walked into the lamp-lit room, he rose up and hugged me. He was wearing a red plaid shirt and his navy blue blazer, signifying important business. He was warm. It was him. He held me tightly in his arms. My tears streamed. With a gasp, I asked, "Dad, where are you now? Where did you go?" And he answered, "I am in the pixels of the pictures you are looking at," by which I think he meant, "I am here and everywhere." Megan Buchanan is a teaching artist, a poet, a performer, a collaborative dance maker, and an English teacher to students with language-based exceptionalities. Her collection, Clothesline Religion, Green Writers Press 2017, was nominated for the 2018 Vermont Book Award. Our next poem is a similarly themed verse from the pen of Phyllis Cole Day. It's titled Ladder for My Father. It reads, "The night before you died, I dreamed a wooden ladder rose straight into the sky, propped against only a wall of air, yet sturdy on its feet, like you in that faded old photo, tall and lean, knee-high in a field of ripening beans. I wasn't with you at the end, but I know that when you left your bed, you mounted that ladder, young again, body light and nimble, clambering up the rungs, worn smooth by shoes and stained from use like wooden spoons. After a few uncertain steps, your long legs took them two at a time, a rapturous climb to glory, up past the crowns of maples and oaks, up past the tops of barns and silos, up past the soaring vultures and hawks, up through the thin, cool veil clouds. Now and then, on your way to the stars, I see you pause upon that ladder, look down from the heavens, not to gauge how far you've come, but to gaze with love on what you loved." Phyllis Cole Day began picking away on an old manual typewriter in childhood and never stopped. She has authored or edited 11 books in multiple genres, writing across what divides us, as she puts it. Her latest title is Staying Power, Writing from a Pandemic Year, Bell Sound Books, 2021. Originally from Ohio, she now resides with her scientist husband, college-bound son, and two cats in a 130-year-old house in Brookings, South Dakota. In our next poem, the author relates her little girl's remote interactions with her kindergarten schoolmates during the COVID-19 pandemic. It's titled, The Thing She Loves Most, by Michelle Mandolia. I hear my daughter introduce her favorite stuffed animal to her kindergarten class. The school year is more than half over, and she has spent it in this house, peering into this one screen. "Her first name is Riri," I hear my daughter say, "and her last name is Hillary. She doesn't have a middle name." I picture the audience, squares on her screen, her teacher's broad smile of interest, the alert posture of the boy who signs in first every morning, the foreheads of children looking down to doodle, as my daughter often does, the unoccupied desk of someone who is using the potty. These 5- and 6-year-olds have met Riri at least 10 times, and maybe 20. I am grateful for whatever instructional philosophy keeps the teacher from suggesting a new share, On these days, my daughter gets a few extra moments with the thing she loves most. Her turn over, her fingertips skim Riri's coat, settling on the mane, felted from so much washing. Michelle Mendolia works as an analyst at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. She lives with her husband and two children in Reston, Virginia. Our next verse ponders the boundless energy and the promise of youth in Last Day of Kindergarten by Marjorie Sizer. In the photograph, the boy is ecstatic, set free, a young king, everything ahead of him. There is nothing he can't have if he wants it, and he wants it, as does his friend beside him. They are ready now to ride off together and slay dragons, rescue the world. It's all here in the park, after the last bell. It's here in the green summer they have been released to. It is here in their manhood. They've only finished kindergarten, but they understand freedom and friendship. They're on top of the picnic table. They're on top of the world in their tennis shoes. They have raised their arms. They are such men as could raise continents. They have survived. Look how their fingers reach the sky, and their legs are sure as horses. Their bodies will forever do anything they ask. Up next, Juvie Kid by Jillian Wegener. Again, we meet in the hallway. As usual, he's sweeping the floor. Look at all the bugs, he says, leaning in to examine his pile of dust and flies. Hey, he says, when are you going to write poetry with us? His hair a wild halo, his eyes intense, his shoulders not yet as wide as mine. He means, when will I matter to you? I've been in here for 4 whole months, he says, but I'm getting out soon. I'm going to a group home far away. They gave me a choice, but I don't care where. Far away from here. Regulations say no handshakes, no touching. We aren't supposed to be talking, but we say good luck, good luck. We say something about second chances, something about taking the right path. We aren't supposed to be talking to him, this boy, excited at what's ahead. We turn and pause at another door. We know his slim chances. Pray for me, he calls. Pray for me, okay? Jillian Wegener lives in Central California. She's the author of The Opposite of Clairvoyance, 2008, and This Sweet Haphazard, 2017, both from 16 Rivers Press. She is the founding president of Modesto Stanislav Poetry Center. She is the past poet laureate of the city of Modesto, and as a volunteer, she has taught creative writing to teens in juvenile detention for 5 years. Here's a reflection on a particular COVID-19 moment in Make Believe by Emily Ligren. Mr. Rogers, what would you say to us now? I miss your soft voice and slow smile. Somehow you would remind us of what it means to share a neighborhood, how our breath travels farther than we think, but so can our care. You would have made the puppets tiny cloth masks, had them ask all the questions children need to ask, like why and how long and can't we? Let Daniel Tiger feel sad and antsy, itching under the ear straps. You would have explained it all patiently and truthfully. No, we don't know how long. Yes, it's okay to feel afraid. This is how we care for everyone right now. Maybe the adults would have listened, too. Emily Lygren is a poet and an outdoor educator who holds a bachelor's degree in geology biology from Brown University. Her poems have been published in Thimble Literary Magazine, the English Leadership Quarterly, Solo Novo, and several other literary journals. Her first book of poems, What We Were Born For, Blue Light Press 2021, won the Blue Light Book Award. She lives in San Rafael, California. Up next, What You Missed That Day You Were Absent from Fourth Grade by Brad Aaron Modlin. Mrs. Nelson explained how to stand still and listen to the wind, how to find meaning in pumping gas, how peeling potatoes can be a form of prayer. She took questions on how not to feel lost in the dark. After lunch, she distributed worksheets that covered ways to remember your grandfather's voice. Then the class discussed falling asleep without feeling you had forgotten to do something else, something important, and how to believe the house you wake in is your home. This prompted Mrs. Nelson to draw a chalkboard diagram detailing how to chant the Psalms during cigarette breaks and how not to squirm for sound when your own thoughts are all you hear. Also, that you have enough. The English lesson was that I am is a complete sentence. And just before the afternoon meal, she made the math equation look easy. The one that proves that hundreds of questions and feeling cold and all those nights spent looking for whatever it was you lost and one person add up to something. About this poem, James Cruz writes, "At times we might feel that we missed out on some necessary information for life handed out to everyone else long ago." Brad Aaron Modlin offers a playful yet sincere take on this idea as he explores what we all might have missed that day in the fourth grade when we are absent, unraveling a list of the kinder, wiser things we might wish our teachers would have taught us. It could have been useful, for instance, to be told that I am is a complete sentence, or we might have been shown how to find meaning in pumping gas, or ways to remember your grandfather's voice, or how to believe the house you wake in is your home. Perhaps we might all have felt more at home if we had been given the freedom and kindness as kids simply to be ourselves. Pondering the peaceful calm and beauty of a family scene as dusk approaches is the subject of our next poem. It's titled, On the Back Porch, by Dorian Lau. The cat calls for her dinner. On the porch, I bend and pour brown soy stars into her bowl, stroke her dark fur. It's not quite night. Pinpricks of light in the eastern sky. Above my neighbor's roof, a transparent moon, a pink rag of cloud. Inside my house are those who love me. My daughter dusts biscuit dough. And there's a man who will lift my hair in his hands, brush it until it throws sparks. Everything is just as I've left it. Dinner simmers on the stove. Glass bowls wait to be filled with gold broth. Sprigs of parsley on the cutting board. I want to smell this rich soup, the air around me going dark, as stars press their simple shapes into the sky. I want to stay on the back porch while the world tilts toward sleep until what I love misses me and calls me in. Dorian Lau's sixth collection, Only As the Day is Long, New and Selected Poems, was named a finalist for the 2020 Pulitzer Prize for Poetry. Her fifth collection, The Book of Men, was awarded the Patterson Poetry Prize, and her fourth book of poems, Facts About the Moon, won the Oregon Book Award. Lau is the co-author of the celebrated The Poet's Companion, a guide to the pleasures of writing poetry. Next, Moving by Michelle Wiegers. I find myself jealous of those who rest quarantined inside their homes, while I have to pack every last item I own in order to carry it just a few blocks away. And now, as I reach around inside this new house, I keep looking for the things I know, certainties to hold me up, cushion me on all sides. How do I know that all will be well? Because the morning sun still warms my cheek, illuminating small flecks of dust on my glasses that look like layered circles of modern art. Because the red squirrel still comes to raid the feeders I hang, not intended for him, while the chickadee sings his same vibrant song. Because the ferns in my garden, I feared had not survived the move, are finally unfurling their green bodies. Because spring doesn't know the anxiety of uncertainty, but declares, through her gentle unwrapping of the world, life will come again. Michelle Wiegers is a poet and mind-body life coach based in southern Vermont. Her work has appeared in Healing the Divide, How to Love the World, Birch Sing Anthology, and Third Wednesday, among other journals. In her coaching work, she is a passionate advocate for those who suffer with chronic pain and fatigue. We now conclude our program today with Lullaby for an Empty Nester by Suzanne Nussie. You have a bed that loves your bones. The dog snores softly at your feet, partnering your partner's drone. Hermit thrush and tree frog sing the creeping dark to sleep. Make a cradle of the night, a cradle for what's gone. Nothing to fear in your twilight. You are here. You are home. Suzanne Nussie has worked as an editor, writer, memoir coach, and writing instructor in Ottawa, Canada. Her poetry, creative nonfiction, and essays have been published in The New Quarterly, Event, The Fiddlehead, Prairie Fire, and Spark and Echo, among others. And she has won several national Canadian literary competitions. Suzanne has also developed and facilitated creative writing workshops for women living in shelters. She holds master's degrees in creative writing, Syracuse University, and pastoral counseling, St. Paul University. You've been listening to Poets Corner, a production of Audio Journal, proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you have any comments or suggestions for Poets Corner, please let us know by calling us at 508-797-1117 or by emailing us at info@audiojournal.org or by mailing us at Audio Journal, 799 West Boylston Street, Worcester, Massachusetts, 01606. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or you can go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm George Blomquist, thanking you for listening. And now, stay tuned for other local programming brought to you by Audio Journal. Are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.